Hi, I'm Fran Wassily, grateful member of Al-Anon. Thank you so much, Kathy and Michelle. Kathy, for asking me to come and speak to you tonight. Michelle, for being a hostess to me and taking me around and introducing me to a lot of you. And it's a bigger event than I thought it was going to be. And the spaghetti was awesome. And all of you ate the cookies that I really wanted by the time I got back there with my money. So whoever had the chocolate chip cookie with the kosher salt on top of it, I hoped it were really good. So I have 20 minutes to give you. So this is like a Cliff Notes version of my story, which is probably really all you need to hear. My date that I came into Al-Anon is January 7th, 1995. My home group is the Thursday night stepped up group in Culver City. I have a sponsor. And welcome to Ricardo. I'm glad you're here. Are there any newcomers in Al-Anon here? Is there anyone who's new to Al-Anon? 30 days, 60 days? Okay, so welcome to all the old-time Al-Anon people in the room. I have just celebrated 30 years in this program, and I still feel like a newcomer. It's like your checkbook. You can get overdrawn really easily in Al-Anon, and it doesn't take too long to get overdrawn in this disease, actually. I love alcoholic men, and I have learned to like alcoholic women. I grew up in a small town in upstate New York, and, you know, my mom was like, you were always taking your bathing suit off at the beach, so that gives you any representation of my Al-Anon story. I love alcoholic men. Every relationship I've ever had has been with an alcoholic man. From the earliest get-go, from like junior high probably. So that kind of gives you an idea of how I got here. At 25, I got married to someone who drank a lot and used drugs. And that's what I call my 2.9 second marriage because it lasted. I got married in June. I left in November. I filed for a divorce in January. So it was about a 6-month marriage. But in the meantime, I had found my next alcoholic. Although he didn't look like an alcoholic or seem like an alcoholic. And I married him when I was 29 years old. And about a year after we got married, he came to me and he said, I think I'm an alcoholic. I was just like, but who's the common denominator in that? Me. You know, I married another alcoholic. And I was like, workaholic, alcoholic. Whatever, figure it out. And that was my compassionate way that I was when I got here. I was a person who was chronically late, and you just needed to accept that about me. My friends would say, you're always late, and I'd be like, you're just going to have to accept that. And my husband, figure it out. So that's how I got here. So I was pretty rough around the edges and harsh with the people in my life. And so my husband, all of a sudden, we would go to weddings and we would have fun and we would drink. And we, like one summer, I think in our late 20s, we went to like 15 weddings. And I mean, who doesn't like to go to a wedding and drink and have fun and dance? And then he came to me and said, all of a sudden, he was a blackout drinker. And so I went to an Al-Anon meeting. And I went to my first Al-Anon meeting because I was 29 and I had been married twice. Now to my second alcoholic, and what am I going to do? I'm a two-time divorcee at 29. Like, that's like, I don't really want that on my resume. So I went to Al-Anon and, you know, of course I was in tears. And I thought, I want to get him sober. And he went to his first AA meeting that day also, or his second AA meeting that day, and he did get sober. And I kept going to Al-Anon. And I went to a couple meetings. I got a sponsor. I did not pick somebody. I picked somebody that I thought really commanded the room, someone who really seemed to know the program. She had a lot of time in the program. I was kind of afraid of her. And I mean, I'm not as afraid of her now as I was when I first asked her to be my sponsor, and she's still my sponsor today. But she knew the program, and she gave it back to me as good as I gave it, you know, in the sense of, like, I'm kind of this very black and white person, like, you like me, you don't like me. And she would just give it back to me, and I'd be like, oh. And then I'd say, oh, that kind of hurt my feelings. And she'd be like, well, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, but I care more about your recovery than I do about your feelings. And I was like, oh, okay. That was a little bit of a shocker. So she always talks about the six things. And so the six things that I've been taught to do in this program, and there's more than the six things, but the basics of the program that was given to me was go to meetings. You got to go to meetings. And so she would say go to two or three meetings a week, and then she would say go to an open AA meeting. And she'd say you have to go to open AA meetings so you can understand alcoholism. And then get a sponsor. I got a sponsor. Now she's telling me what to do. And I'm like, who's this person who's telling me what to do all the time? You know, but you know what? I was desperate enough. I wanted my marriage to work. I didn't want to be a two-time divorcee at the age of 29. I didn't want that on my resume. So having Al-Anon on my resume, my life resume, felt like a better option. Not an option I really wanted, but something I could live with. Then I'd go to the meetings and she'd say, take a commitment. Take a commitment? Like, okay, I've got to take a commitment. So be a greeter. Oh, be a greeter? Let people hug me? Oh, you know, like I was not a huggable person. And I also really didn't love women when I got to Al-Anon because I always kind of thought I was a guy's girl. You know, I was the girl who, when we would go to dinner as a couple, and I'd always be like, my husband would be like, how was the dinner? And I'd be like, I really like Joe, but Susie, eh, you know. So I started having to be a greeter and hug people. And, you know, you actually have to be on time. So she would always say, if you're not 15 minutes early for the meeting, you're late. So that really was a kind of a challenge for me too. Like, oh, I have to be on time now, but now I have to be 15 minutes early. So, and you definitely had to be there at least 15 minutes early, maybe half an hour early to be a greeter, right? So I had to be a greeter. And then, so go to meetings, get a sponsor, take commitments, work the steps. So for me, working the steps has really been such a key to my recovery. And I have worked the steps through many times. I've done a lot of mini inventories. I have three kids. I've had to do a lot of work on my kids. My husband is sober but does not go to meetings. So there's lots to do step work on, right? And then there's lots to do step work on because I'm me. So I'm an overthinker, I'm critical, I'm manipulative, so all the things. So I have lots of step work to do. And that's how I got a relationship with a higher power. That's how I figured out that, oh, I may have come to Al-Anon to get my husband sober, but I'm actually in Al-Anon for me. So when people say, oh, my qualifier, people always say, oh, my qualifier. Well, I'm my own qualifier. I qualify myself for this program because I'm crazy. I think and think and think and think and think about how you wronged me or that wasn't fair or why are you on your phone so much? Why are you not looking at me when I'm talking to you? You don't like me. Why are we even married? Why are you taking Snapchat pictures of me constantly when I haven't given you approval? Because my daughter is constantly taking pictures and then snapping pictures and then sending them to her friends. And I'm like, I look terrible in that picture. Why are you sending that picture? Anyway, so working the steps has been key and really was like a significant and continues to be a significant part of the program. Sponsoring others. Nobody wanted me to be their sponsor when I came to the rooms because people are still kind of afraid of me, but not as afraid of me as they used to be. Once I had kids, I guess some of those rough edges were softened when I became a mom, and so I've learned how to be a sponsor in this program, which you got to be accountable. You got to work a program if you're going to sponsor people. I don't do sponsorship perfectly. Actually don't do anything perfectly anymore. You know, I may be a type A person, but with 30 years of recovery, I'm not looking for perfection at this point. Don't look at my manicure when you come up to thank me, because I made choices to do something else today rather than go get a manicure or a pedicure. So that's a joke in the sense of, like, you'll probably now look at my pedicure, but it's bad. So I was like, I'm gonna wear open toe shoes anyway, and that's just a part of my recovery, is that, you know, I was at the beach a lot this summer. There's no point in getting a good pedicure because it's just gonna get ruined if you're in the sand all the time in the salt water. So no pedicure. So people, I do sponsor people in the program, and it's a great way to give back. You kind of got to work a program if you're going to sponsor people. And 30 years in, I don't feel like I'm doing it perfectly or sometimes even great. I became reemployed. I was a stay-at-home mom for 20 years, and I became reemployed at the ripe old age of 57, and basically had to kind of almost start over. You know, I had a career before I had kids, and now I chose a different career, and I had to, like, punch a time clock, which I was like, I haven't punched a time clock since I was in high school. And I would get into these big fights with my boss because I wouldn't want to follow the rules, because I wouldn't want to punch a time clock. I'm 57 years old and I haven't punched a time clock or been paid hourly in a long time. But that's how I started back in a new career. And now I'm like, on to my next job, my second job. And so it feels good to, like, contribute financially to my household, to be an earner. You know, being a stay-at-home mom is not a job where you get a lot of pats on the back. But it was rewarding, and I'm glad I did it some days. And because some days I'm like, wait, I spent all that time on you guys, and you're screwing up now? Like, what happened? But I was so type A that I couldn't work and be a good mom. So I got off from working the steps, sponsoring others, and pray on your knees. So praying on your knees, like once what I said, through working the steps, I did get a relationship with a higher power. So I'm able to, you know, let go quite a bit, not always and not perfectly, of the people in my life, because, or let go of my performance at work, or let go of the fact that it's not going my way. You know, all those things. My higher power helps me to just pause and a lot of times keep my mouth shut, because I can have a razor sharp tongue. I have a son. I have three kids. My middle child has autism. And so his most recent thing with me is, your tone. And I'm like, what about my tone? You know, joking. So then I try to talk softly. I try to talk quietly. And then I'll say, I don't have a tone. And then my husband will say, she doesn't have a tone. And then I'm like, yeah, see, I don't have a tone. So then I could just find myself getting ramped up. You know, this program has given me... How much time do I have?
You have
5 minutes. 5 minutes, okay. This program has given me the life I thought I would have, in the sense that I am married for almost 32 years. It hasn't been perfect. It hasn't been, but there's, you know, moments and years of good things, and then there are moments that are difficult. And, you know, who would ever know? I've never been married for 30 years. I don't know what being married for 30 years looks like, 32 years, you know, so I didn't, like, I sometimes think back to, like, my parents' marriage, and I'm like, oh, this is what they were dealing with, or, oh, that's why it was hard for them, or, you know, because you didn't know. When I was 17, I didn't know why my parents were not getting along or feeling like they were just two people living in a house. But, you know, 30 years in, sometimes I know now that it's like, it's not all like this. You know, it's up and down. It's up and down. And there seems to be cycles to it. My husband has suffered from some depression at times. And, you know, I read that book, Soul of the Sponsorship, and I was like, oh my gosh, Bill Wilson was depressed for like, talks about him being depressed for like 8 years, and my sponsor would go, well, you're 5 years through it. I'm like, you mean I gotta wait another 3 years for, and she goes, well, you just don't know, God's got a plan. So one of the things that the program does is it brings humor. Sponsorship and fellowship and meetings takes the focus off the problem, and it can bring humor to situations that really feel not so fun or not so laughable, really. And I know sometimes newcomers are like, oh, I can't believe they're laughing at that. But it's one of the ways that we, and I know it has helped me when I'm able to say, it's not funny, but it's funny, you know, like it's funny that we can laugh about it. My mom passed away, in September. So it's almost a year, which is hard to believe. And, she had a good life. She was 94, like a week before she died. And, she pretty much decided I'm going to say goodbye. I'm going to go because I don't want to do this anymore. And so I said to my sister, okay, we're not going to see her. We're not going to see her awake again, right? And she's like, no, we're not going to see her awake again. I said, when we go, she's going to be in a coma, like a morphine coma. She said, yeah, she's going to be in a morphine coma. So I had to go back to the hospital because I left my charging cord there. And I walk into the room and there's all this chaos and my mom is awake and she's like, I thought I was going to be dead by now. And, you know, I mean, the fact that those are the last words, I'm like, you know, the last words I heard my mom say out of her mouth, like, I thought I was going to be dead by now. Just now it, like, helps to ease the pain of her death. And you know, nobody wants to lose their mother. But it was, she knew she wanted to go. We did a toast. She was able to say her goodbyes, and, you know, it's beautiful. And I had done similar, I was not as close to my dad as I was to my mom, but I'd had a similar experience with my dad where I was able to be there with my dad when he died. So this program has helped me get through death. It's helped me get through infertility, marriage, kids with autism. I have a son now who's drinking daily. I don't know if he's an alcoholic, but I didn't drink daily like that when I was 25. My daughter is going to college on Tuesday. So all the things that our life brings us, good and bad, the program of Al-Anon and AA has helped me to live an accountable life of recovery and joy despite what's going on. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.